Good evening, everyone. We want to welcome you to our Wednesday evening Bible study at Central Baptist Church. We hope everybody is ready for Christmas. And I also hope that each and every one of us had an opportunity to view the Christmas star on Monday evening. It's really interesting that the questions that I've received, a lot of them by way of writing, email, text messaging, or just standard conversation, of people who had questions about the event that took place on Monday. And in light of that, you know, I'm going to break a little bit of our norm here for this week, this Christmas week, with our Bible study. I hope, trust, and pray that you did take the opportunity to read your passages and study those so that the Lord would have an opportunity to show you some really neat things in His Word. But this week, I want to shift gears a little bit just because of that event that we had, as well as the fact that it's Christmas week. So we're going to be looking in God's Word at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. So if you have the Bible, please go ahead and turn over there. This is dealing with the Magi, or the wise men as we know it. And I want to try to answer some of the questions that I got relative to the Christmas star this past week, and I want to answer them in accordance with what God's Word has to say. So let's go ahead and take a look at God's Word, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. We're going to begin reading at verse 1, and then we'll build our biblical story from there. Matthew 2, beginning with verse 1, says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.' Now when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him." Verse 4, "And when he had gathered together the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel.'" Verse 7, "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you this evening, we want to, Lord, just ask that you would open up our hearts, open up our minds. We're so grateful and thankful that you never leave us, you never forsake us. And Lord, that in each and everything that happens in our lives, you have a plan. So Father, we pray that you would truly help us to trust your plan for our lives. And Lord, to use the metaphor, to follow the star, to be in your presence, no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what circumstances or situations may be taking place, Lord, we just trust that that you will help us to look for your guidance. Help us, Father, as we look at your word. Your word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, and it does not return void. So, Lord, speak to our hearts as we gather around your word this evening. Use your servant to disseminate your word and your will in a way that's pleasing in your sight. So we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, you know, I mentioned a moment ago that we had this event that took place on Monday. And they actually called it either the Star of Bethlehem or the Christmas Star. And they related it to the biblical story of the wise men or the Magi in the Word of God. So I hope, trust, and pray that you had a chance or an opportunity to go out and view this star. For us, it was located in the in the southwestern skies right about the time that it started to get dark. Now, I know that as my family went out to look at it, It's one of the circumstances that for me, I guess my eyes are getting a little bit older. I was looking around and I thought, well, this, it doesn't look any different to me. The things look pretty much the same. But there was this one star that you could see in the southwest sky. So, you know, Blake went in, got a set of binoculars, and when I looked at it through there, I could actually see it at that point. Now, Jan and Blake's eyes were a lot better than mine. They could see it without the binoculars. But yet it was an event. It was something that was truly different. Now, I had some folks that said to me, they said, well, you know, I didn't see anything that was really different, you know. And when they were relating it to this particular passage, I think that what was going on was that there were some folks, maybe even yourself, that went out and you thought you were going to see something that was so different that there was no way that it could be mistaken. I think there were folks that went out thinking that there was going to be this big, huge presence that was completely different than anything that they had ever seen before, and it was going to stand out. And for them, it didn't. Now, I believe that could be true, you know, to a point. Now, when it comes down to the wise men or the magi, I think that there was something that they saw in the sky that was completely different. Now, we also have to understand their position. These were educated men. These were men who studied the stars in the sky. It's often like they could go out, and because of what they did often, they could see that there was something different. Even if it was an event like we had on Monday, that was something that they would have picked up because it was abnormal for them. For you and I, we may have looked up and never known the difference had we not known what was taking place. We also have to understand that in that day, the Magi didn't have, you know, the Hubble telescope, or they didn't have all these hopped up pieces of equipment, or the history that you and I have knowing how things operate, function, and work. So it was a completely different age, but yet there was something different that they saw. Now, enter God himself. I believe with all of my heart that God did make something that was so abnormal that it did catch their attention, and that was the reason for their journey. These magi, or these wise men, were those that were seeking the truth no matter what, to the point that they were willing to put their lives on pause or on hold while they sought this particular truth, as we see in these passages and we'll point out to you here shortly. But let's go back to Matthew's gospel in chapter 2, where it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea," this is verse 1, "in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Now, some of the questions that I have gotten in regard to these passages, as well as our Christmas star event of this past Monday, was simply this. How did the Magi even connect this to a spiritual type of event? I believe with all of my heart that it was because God had put it in their heart. I believe that they were wise enough, that they were educated enough, that they were able to link the Old Testament prophecies of what was taking place, or what was going to be taking place, and realize what had happened, not simply just because they were smart, but because God allowed them to have that supernatural knowledge of what was taking place and of what was going on. In other words, God gave them the ability to connect the dots of the Old Testament prophecy to know that the coming Messiah had arrived. So naturally, when you begin to think about this, as those Magi, and by the way, we always say that there's three. You know, we have the song, "The Three Wise Men." Every Christmas play you've ever seen has three of them in there. We don't really know how many there were. There could have been more than three, but part of the reason why we number them at three is because of the gifts that we know at the end of this passage that we looked at today. It says that they brought him the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we knew that there were three gifts. It is assumed that there were at least three different kings. There could have been more. We don't know that. The word doesn't tell us. But what we do see is the fact that they had set out on a journey. They realized that something so great was taking place. They connected the dots in some way to know that this was symbolic of the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ, and they went to find him. They gathered the gifts. They went on their way. So the logical way of thinking is, if you're going to go looking for a king, where would you go look? Well, they weren't necessarily thinking in the spiritual manner in which Jesus came as a humble servant of all of mankind. They were thinking king as in the castle, the capital. This is where we'll find him. Where would you find a king in that day? And in their hearts and minds, we would find him in the capital city. We would find him right there in the palace. That's where we would go look. So that's what they did. So you'll notice in that verse, it says verse 2 says, they sought him and they essentially went down to where Herod the king currently was residing. Verse 2 saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. So they put this together that the star was symbolic of the birth of Christ. They went down to the palace to see if they could see him, and they don't run into Jesus, they run into Herod. Now, Herod had his men that were there as well that greeted him, but nonetheless, when it came time, they came and said, we're looking for a king, and Herod's doorman or whoever it was in the palace probably said, you guys just, hold on a minute. Let me go talk to Herod the king and let him know you're here. Let him know what's going on. So obviously they went to Herod and said to Herod, there are some magi out here who are looking for a king. Notice in verse 2 what it says, that, and this is a quote from the New King James, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? So everybody knew why they were there. Now when Herod found this out, verse 3 it says, and when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all of Jerusalem with him. Now, why would Herod be troubled at the coming of the newborn king, our Savior and our Messiah? Well, because Herod wasn't looking at Jesus as the Savior of all mankind over sin. Herod was looking at the birth of a newborn king as something that would be competition to him. Now, if you look at the Old Testament days, the way that Old Testament kings always took care of competition was they eliminated them. So now Herod is thinking that some competition to his throne has been born, and it bothered him. Now, when the king was bothered, everybody was bothered. In other words, Herod would make it hard on all those that were around him. He would make it hard on all the people simply because he was disturbed. I was likened this particular passage to that situation of being in the home, and we know the old adage that says, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Well, that was kind of the state that Jerusalem was in at this time when Herod had heard about the coming or the birth of the newborn king. So Herod decides that he's going to find out some information for himself. At this point, he has no idea what's taking place. He has no idea what's going on. So he's going to do a little bit of homework here and try to find out something about this Jesus, the newborn king. His method for doing that wasn't going down to the library. He didn't have Google. He didn't have all these different things. But he did have those in his presence who were considered wise men for him, for the kingdom, and for that particular day and age. And in verse 4 it says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes, notice chief priests were part of that. Those were the ones who should know about the coming Messiah. Those were the ones who were the educated. Those were the ones who had studied the scriptures. So verse 4 says, and when he had gathered all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So Herod is asking a question. He calls them together and he says, where is this Jesus supposed to be born? And they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Now, I want to pause right there for just a moment because I want to interject the fact that even though these wise men of that day, Herod's wise men, completely missed Jesus, they had the right answer. They knew where Jesus was to be born. It says, they said in verse 5, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And what he does is he goes back and he quotes an Old Testament passage. And the Old Testament passage that he quotes is Micah 5:2. So you can make a note of that. If you want, you can go check it later. But Micah 5:2 is essentially requoted in verse 6 of the answer that Herod's wise men gave him. And this is what it says. Verse 6, but you, Bethlehem in the land of Judah are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. They knew the answer to the question. They had the proper answer. That's what they told Herod, and their answer to him was correct. Now, ironically enough, the distance between where Herod was and where Bethlehem was is roughly 6 to 7 miles. That was it. Nowhere in the scripture do we ever see that Herod's wise men thought, well, hey, if somebody is out here searching for him, maybe he is born. Maybe we should go and prove this ourselves. Maybe we should take this 6 or 7 mile journey to where Jesus is and see for ourselves, to see if it's true, to see if just maybe the long-awaited Messiah that we've read so much about, that we've seen all the prophecy over the centuries about, just maybe this is it. They didn't even do that. Although they had the right answer, they didn't go seek Jesus. Folks, I want to interject right now the fact that there are a lot of people today who know the right answer in their head. They've got it right here. They know all about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They've never started that personal relationship with him. Folks, let me promise you that a head knowledge of Jesus Christ is not what's going to get you to heaven. It's a heart knowledge of Christ that will get you there. It's that personal relationship with him. Here we had some of the wisest men of that day that surrounded Herod, that surrounded the kingdom, that had all the right answers in their head, but it had never trickled down to their heart. And they didn't even go to see if this could be true, what the Magi had come seeking. 6 miles journey down the road, that was all it would have taken. So Herod gets the answer that he's looking for, and he gets the correct answer that the Word of God tells us to be true. But in verse 7, it says this. It says, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. Now, he didn't do this out in public. He just said, let's get those Magi in here. I'd just like to have a talk with them and find out a little bit more about what's going on. Herod was kind of sneaky in that day. So nobody else in the kingdom knew that he had this conversation with the Magi who were seeking Jesus. And he says to him, he says, when did you see this? When did you guys start to begin to not only see this anomaly, but to begin to follow it? So he's doing a somewhat of an interview with them to gather information for himself. And so he learns what time the star had appeared. It doesn't tell us in the scripture what they said to him, but he did. The Magi did give him an answer of when they began their journey. Now, verse 8 says, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Now, Herod wasn't going to go out there and seek for himself. Herod didn't send his own wise men out there to find out what was going on, but yet he didn't hinder the journey of the Magi that were truly seeking Jesus. But what he said was this. He said, you guys go. Man, have a great journey. I hope everything is going to be go well for you on the way down there. He's about 6 or 7 miles down the road. You'll find him that way. And when you hone in on where he is, how about coming back and letting me know what address he is, you know, what hotel's he in, what house is he in, what field is he in, wherever you find him, let me know. And then Herod said the reason why he wanted to know at the latter part of verse 8 was that, he says, that I may come to worship him also. So Herod's setting them up to say, hey, you know, when you bring that word back to me, I want to go as well. I'm a busy man. I'm the king. I'm running the kingdom. I don't have time to find him. But if you'll just let me know, I want to be a part of going and worshiping the newborn king as well. But that wasn't what he had in mind in his heart and in his motive. This says this in verse 9. It says, So when they had heard the king, they departed, this being the Magi. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. Now the star appeared once again. Once again, they are being led to where Jesus is. They found it. They honed in on it. They were educated in that regard. They were happy. They said, oh, our compass is back. Now we can continue to follow the star till we can find where Jesus is. Verse 10 says, and when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. So now we've got our trek again. It's not that we're just going to have to listen. We're just going to add all this stuff up. Now, I believe with all of my heart and according to Scripture that what Herod had told them as far as the location that had been given by the priest and the wise men that surrounded Herod, we know that that was correct information. I believe they set out on their journey heading to Bethlehem, but as they did, they had confirmation from the star that they had initially followed once again came up, and they were glad. So all their information added up in such a fashion that they were heading in the right direction. And that's something that all of us want to know. When we're going down the road, I don't know about you, there have been times when there have been areas where I have been traveling, maybe not with a GPS, the scenery's not familiar, and there have been some times in my life where I've been going, you know, I sure hope I'm heading in the right direction because I don't have any signs along the way. I don't have anything to tell me that I'm heading in the right direction in my course of travel. Well, the wise men or the magi had heard that it was going to be Bethlehem. As they went back out, now they get another clear-cut sign that they're heading in the right direction, and it made them joyous. It helped them relax a little bit because they knew, based on what they'd been told, they weren't far. Their journey was starting to come to an end. Now, as we look at verse 11, and there's a couple of things I want us to understand. Verse 11 says, and when they had come into the house, now pause there for a moment. Wait a minute, we've seen a lot of Christmas stories. You know, it always shows the kings, the three kings walking up with their gifts and their treasures and laying them there at the manger scene in Bethlehem. And yet this doesn't say that they went to the manger. We know the scriptures tell us in Luke's gospel in chapter 2 that that Jesus was born wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. But yet in verse 11, we find that the Magi didn't find Jesus in the stable. They didn't find him laying in a manger. They didn't find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. Notice verse 11, it says, and when they had come into the house, Jesus and Joseph and Mary at this particular point were in a house. So that lets us know that there had been some time that had passed from when he was born until the Magi actually got to come into the presence of the greatness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go back to verse 11. It says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I mentioned a little while ago that that's why we call it the three kings, because there were three different gifts. We really don't know how many of those gifts that there were. So they finally had reached their destination. They had finally come into the presence of Jesus. They finally had a chance to worship him. They finally had a chance to present their gifts to him. So when the visit was over, verse 12 says this. Now, I can imagine what must have been going through their mind. They knew that they had been given a directive from Herod the king that when you find him, come back and let me know where he is. So I'm sure that that was probably what their initial plan was. But verse 12 says this. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So, you know, they had, once again, divine intervention that they should not go back. They should not tell Herod what they had found and the location of where Jesus was. So they said, okay, we're going to start heading back to our own homes as we go. Now, it's very interesting what we find out. And I want us to drop down to verse 16 just, you know, for the sake of time in regard to our study this evening. We know that the wise men, the three magi, didn't go back and didn't tell Herod where Jesus was. And when Herod finds this out, go down to verse 16, it says this. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he had been deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem in all its district from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. So this particular verse helps give us a time frame in which the star had occurred, the time that it had taken from when the Magi initially started following the star until the time when the Magi did not return back to Herod. This verse right here lets us know that it was 2 years. We know that according to God's word, as well as this particular passage, it says And he sent forth, this is in verse 16, he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and all of its district from 2 years old and under. So what that tells us is that from the time that the Magi had reported to Herod in that little secret meeting that they had had, Herod may have wrote it now, whatever. He may have had a good memory, whatever it was. He knew when the Magi said that they first saw the star in the sky, which was indicative of when Christ was born. To the point where he was and knew that the Magi were not going to come back and report to him where Christ was, that span had been a two-year period of time. Now, remember what we said a moment ago about how kings dealt with potential competition. They just eliminated him. That is exactly what Herod the king was doing with his decree that all of the children 2 years of age and under in Bethlehem and in all of its districts be put to death. Herod's idea was, if I can't hone in on exactly which one is Jesus, then I'll just make sure that we have all of the male children killed 2 years of age and younger, because that way I'll make sure that he is taken out. Yeah, Herod was a very ruthless man when it came down to that. He didn't want there to be any competition whatsoever. It says in verse 16 once again, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all of the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all of its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Now, this also goes to help us explain why the Magi found Jesus in a house rather than the stable. Remember what we saw in those verses just prior to this? It says that when they came into the house and they found the young child with his mother Mary, and they presented those gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't exactly know what that time frame was at when the Magi got there. Now, there could have been a little bit more time from when the Magi actually saw Jesus and returned to their own country until Herod thought about the time frame to come up with that 2 years. But at any rate, I just wanted to let you know. Now, I realize that when you see your Christmas plays, hopefully this is not shocking to some of you who may be viewing this today, that the wise men didn't really make it to the stable. They made it to the house. And don't let that bother you when you see your Christmas programs. You can kind of have a little bit of a chuckle. But short of having somebody at the manger scene walk by with a cue card that says 2 years later, and then have the three wise men come in, there's no other real way to do it. So just take that with a grain of salt, but also understanding what the scripture tells us in regard to the birth of our newborn king, as well as the Magi. Now back to the star for just a few moments, because this past week the anomaly that we saw in the sky was referred to as the star of Bethlehem, or the Christmas star. And a lot of people were sitting back saying, well, I couldn't really see any difference on that. And folks have asked me my opinion on that. They say, well, do you think that what the wise men saw was something like what we saw this past Monday? My answer to that is maybe. I can't say concretely, but I can tell you this. I believe that what they saw was so supernatural and so dominant in the skies that there was no doubt of what it was. It was no doubt that they could connect those dots of prophecy, that there was no doubt that being led by the Holy Spirit, that they knew exactly what it was indicative of. Now, the other thing that we don't know, according to our biblical history or history itself, we don't know if anybody else actually saw the star that they saw. It could have been like most people going around. They were like, well, I didn't see anything different at all about Monday. But an astronomer could definitely tell you that there was something going on Monday, because they're the ones that consistently view the skies. They're consistently the ones that study the stars and the planets and orbit and all those different things. They could look up pretty much this past Monday with their naked eye and say, yep, that's different. I could actually see, the two different planets, coming into alignment. But these wise men were that way. They were the ones that studied that. So obviously, even a minute difference would be something that they could pick up just by watching the skies. So was it an event like we saw Monday that led the wise men back in the days to Jesus? I don't know. I think that the wise men had something that was even more predominant to them. Now, the other thing is, I can say that I don't think that it was a lot like what we saw, and here's the reason why. Now, this one is the pretty much upfront common sense reason. Because we know that this journey for the wise men took some time. We know that potentially at least 2 years from what we learned from the scripture. Here's the thing about what we saw this past Monday. You only got to see it for a little while and it was gone. So whatever it was that that took place, you know, reappeared to the wise men. So I believe with all of my heart that this was something that was done in a supernatural way that the wise men could see, that they could connect the dots of prophecy, knowing that the Messiah was born. And then I think that they didn't really realize where to find him. And that's why they actually went to Herod's house looking for him, because all they knew was that a king lives in the castle or the palace and the capital city. So that's where we'll go looking for him. And then after the conversation, I love how it says the star that they had seen in the east before appeared once again. I believe that if it was something like what we saw on Monday, we only had a small window. If you look at the history of our event, you'll notice that it hadn't taken place in 800 years, and it was only for a brief window. So I believe that this truly was something that was supernatural, that was unmistakable for those magi. Do I have all the answers to that? No, I don't. But I can tell you that what I saw was kind of cool to stand out there and look and to just maybe have a little bit of a glimpse of something that the Magi saw back during the time of the birth of Christ. So my prayer for each and every one of us as we go forward is that we will truly take heed of what the Word of God tells us, that we will follow it, that we will hold on to that, that we will know it, that we will learn it, that we will live it for each and every day of our lives as we go forward. Let me go ahead and give you some scripture readings for next week's study. And then what we'll do is we'll close us out in a word of prayer. But next week, and I want to say next week because we're in the middle of this week. But your Bible readings actually for this week will be 1 Peter chapter 4 through 2 Peter chapter 3. Well, it's only five chapters. Again, one chapter a day starting this week or today. 1 Peter chapter 4 through 2 Peter chapter 3. Next week, we're actually going to be looking at passages out of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 14, entitled The Coming Day of the Lord. So we're hoping and praying that you're studied up for that. I know Christmas will be a busy time. Got a lot of things that are going on, a lot of places to go, people to see. But please don't let down on your study of God's Word. One chapter is not that tough. One chapter a day. And then as we meet around His Word next week, we'll look at passages out of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. As a reminder for each and every person, not only those that are here, that are feeling comfortable with coming back to services, but to each and every one of us, our Christmas Eve communion service is this coming Thursday, the 24th. We'll have that in the sanctuary. We have two different times to do that. The first time is 6 o'clock p.m. The second time is 6:30 p.m. Our 6 o'clock p.m. service is actually going to be broadcast live on our Facebook page. So you can join us. If you're in the area and you're not going to be able to be here in person, feel free to stop by the church. You can pick up the hermetically sealed communion elements to be able to use during that broadcast so that you can join us for communion. If you're somewhere and you're not close, have something handy. Get you a cracker, some juice, some way that you and your family can join us for communion on Christmas Eve. For those of you who will be attending here, we will have the communion elements here for you when you arrive. And we look forward to being able to take this time to gather around the Lord's table of communion as we remember not only what He did for us, that the birth of Christ, why we celebrate Christmas, His birth led to His crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, which has led to salvation for you and I. Let's always remember the true reason why we celebrate the Christmas season. Also, as another reminder, this coming Sunday, the 27th, we will have our called church conference immediately after our service to vote on the 2021 church budget. We remind folks that we do have copies of that proposed budget here at the church. They're laid out in the places and on the tables and in the narthex where you could collect one of those. If you're not getting out, you can call the church office. We can email you one of those. Just be sure to give us your email. And we're also having an opportunity for you to have a say and a vote. We're really encouraging folks that if you have questions about the budget, there's telephone numbers and email addresses for our finance team, on that last page of the budget. Please go ahead and contact them, get any questions that you might have answered prior to the church conference. That'll be helpful in keeping our conference short and to the point. Our vote is going to be a yes or no vote, just like we've taken the last two times in the midst of our COVID-19 protocols and how we've been getting business done here since this past March. It will be a written yes or no vote. If you're calling in or coming to us by way of video for the conference, all that information is also listed on a copy of the budget. You will also have an opportunity to vote on the 2021 budget. So please go ahead and pick up a copy of that, review it, contact finance if you have questions, and we'll look forward to entering conference after our Sunday morning service this coming Sunday, the 27th. Finally, I just want to say how much we love you guys. Thank you on behalf of the staff for all of your kindness, your prayers, gifts, cards, home-baked goodies, all the wonderful things that you have bestowed upon us this Christmas. We love you. It is truly a pleasure to serve you. We trust and pray that each and every one of you is going to have a very, very Merry Christmas. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we close today. Father, we thank you so much for the fact that you stepped out of heaven and came to this earth. Lord, that you've lived those 33 years of sinless life and you went to Calvary's cross and resurrected that we might have eternal life. Lord, help us to truly be mindful of why we celebrate Christmas. Christmas, the birth of your only Son and our Savior. Lord, may it mean something different and special to us this year and every day as we go forward. Father, bless each and every heart, bless each and every family. Thank you for the way that you have blessed our church. May we continue to be a lighthouse that as we lift you up, you truly draw all men unto you. So, Lord, right now we just pray that as we take this time to spend with family and friends, that we would do so realizing how blessed we truly, truly are. So, Father, thank you for all that you do for us as we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.